Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, yesterday you got to listen in, as it were, while I was talking with a group of our friends from Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church. We're going to continue that message, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you as you listen. Now, what I'm telling you is this. I don't want you to crawl up in the bed and just wait to die. Don't fall into depression, but don't ignore the fact that all of us have a limited time on this earth. All of us are mortal. We're going to die. This tent is going to wear out. And so you need to be ready not only in terms of the eternal, that's the most important, but you also ought to do some things to get ready as far as the fact that one of these days you may not be able to communicate all your desires or even make a choice. I've known numerous people who really wanted to accomplish something and they were now at a stage in life where they just couldn't bring themselves to do it. And unfortunately, because they had wanted to maintain control, they had not made arrangements for anybody else to be able to carry out their wishes. That's not a good situation. Now, it's not going to affect where you spend eternity, which is the most important thing, but it can definitely impact not only how you spend your last years, but also it impacts the people that you love. And I want to suggest to you, this is going to seem kind of unspiritual, but it's actually biblical. You ought to have a will. You ought to have a will. You might say, well, I don't have great wealth. You've got something. When I was 7 years old and my grandfather, my mom's dad, died, I got a small red box with a picture of an antique car on top and a little snap that hung from the top down to the bottom, and you could open and close and seal that way. And inside it had some change. That was Grandpa's. The money inside it was not very much at all. But I cherished that box because that was Grandpa's. And I'm very glad that I got it. He lived in a basement apartment at my uncle's house. He didn't have a lot of possessions. There wasn't a lot to give away. But when my cousin downsized his home in Florida, I got some of Grandpa's paintings, including the painting that everybody who knew Grandpa's paintings thought was the best painting of all. It's now hanging in our dining room, okay? And I love that. I don't know what you've got. Whether you have wealth or whether you have knickknacks. But what are you going to do with them? Well, I'm going to let that be somebody else's problem. Well, how Christ-like of you. Okay? Wouldn't it be better than leaving the relatives to be irritated with each other about who gets what and who has to clean out the garage or whatever is going to happen? My wife says, I don't want our kids to have to deal with all this stuff. And I say, why not? We had to deal with our parents' stuff. Okay. What I'm telling you is you ought to have a will. You ought to express what you would like to have go where. And if you don't want to divide it all up, you need to say who's going to do that, okay? In our outline of who gets what, we've got 7 kids. We've got 11 grandkids so far, okay? So how do we do this? Well, we said this goes here, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here, and the rest of our personal effects shall be distributed among the children as is deemed appropriate by, and we name one of our kids. In other words, this is the one who gets to decide who gets what, and he can handle it. Do you want to really mess up your kids? Pick 2 of them and put them in charge. Okay? You got to have a tiebreaker. Okay, so have 3, and then it can be 2 against 1, and the family's fractured forever. Good job. Good job. We just decided we're picking 1. Now, you can do what works for you. I don't know your family. I don't know your kids. You may not have kids. I don't know what your situation is. What I do know is this. Don't leave a mess for somebody to deal with after you're gone. And don't leave a mess for somebody to deal with while you're still living and not able to deal with your own mess. One of the precious gifts that my father gave to me when he was about 70, he said, Jim, someday you're going to realize that I shouldn't be driving anymore. And he said, when that happens, I'm counting on you to take away the car keys. And he said, because I will not recognize at that point that I shouldn't be driving. So he said, I'm counting on you to take away the car keys. And he said, and when you do, I may get really angry with you and I may even say some unkind things. But he said, but now, while I still have my mind, I'm telling you what I want you to do and I want you to ignore whatever I say then. Can I count on you to do that? And I said, yes, sir. Let me just tell you something. That was a gift. I said, you need to have a will. I'll tell you what else. You need to have durable power of attorney. I'm not representing a law firm here. I don't do this kind of work. You know, this is not a, and we have some forms over here on the table, and there you can buy the whole estate planning kit, including durable power of attorney forms, for only, okay, yeah, you can find it online. I'm not trying to tell you what to put in yours. I'm telling you, don't live in denial as if you will always have your faculties. Some of you will. Some of you will be sharp as a tack till the moment you die, okay? I know people like that, but a whole lot of people I've known showed no signs of awareness for a long time before they died, and some who were precious, like my dad, seemed to know what was going on, and then you realized, oh no, that was a false alarm. One of my son Clayton's memories of my father, when my parents were living with us, Clayton was 13 years old, and my wife had taken my mom to the beauty parlor to have mom's hair done, and I had to go down to work at the ranch, and Clayton was assigned to sit with my dad. My dad at that stage was sitting there just mostly with his eyes closed. He would say, I'm not sleeping, I'm just resting my eyes. He said that all the time to preachers and everything, you know. But Dad all of a sudden looked up and he looked at Clayton and he said, you know, your father is one of the finest men I've ever known. And Clayton said, well, thank you, sir. And my dad said, yes, I believe he's the finest fire marshal Statesville's ever had. Clayton had to excuse himself from the room for a few moments to go and recompose himself. I'm just telling you, You may not always be as sharp as you are today. That's what I'm saying. So don't live in denial, okay? Don't act like death is imminent when it may be another 50 years. That's what Isaac did. But don't act as if you will always be just like Caleb, 85 years old and ready to go to war. Okay? You may be like Caleb, 85 years old and ready to go to war, but you may not. You may find that you're not quite able anymore to make those decisions that you should have made when you were still able to make those decisions. So you need to have a will. You need to have durable power of attorney, okay? Durable power of attorney, there are two kinds. One is for health matters. The other is for finances. Some people are willing to do one and not the other. I recommend you do both. And you can do two different people if you want, okay? And again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just encouraging you having to do this stuff myself. I took care of my disabled cousin from 2009 to 2018. And he was an only child and never married, never had kids. And so he didn't have anybody to help him with his affairs regarding end of life. And I had to take a cram course, as it were, in how all this stuff works. And I'll tell you this. If we've got some lawyers who can do something about this, I'd like it. Tennessee's advance directive form, which I'm going to talk about next, stinks. I don't know who drew that thing up, but basically, the last time I looked at it, what it said is, I would find it unacceptable to remain alive if the following... And it lists these various things that might happen to you. And you're supposed to say, yeah, if those things happen, I find living unacceptable. Well, that's a terrible attitude. I couldn't fill that out and sign that. Illinois, which is a horrible place, has a much better form, okay? Because that's where my cousin was. In their form, you simply say, if I end up in a situation where it looks like I'm, you know, not recoverable in the opinion of the physicians. You know, I'm not going to live. I have a terminal condition, et cetera, et cetera. Then this is what I would like done. And it ranges from, I don't want anything done, to I want all medical possibilities exhausted in trying to keep me alive. And it's got everything in between, okay? You get to choose. It's like a menu. You know, yeah, that's true. No, not that, etc. I don't care what form you use. You need to let your doctor and your loved ones know in writing that these are your wishes. So, Pastor Wood, I've always heard that you are extremely pro-life. I am extremely pro-life. But I do not believe in prolonging dying. Now, prolonging life? Yes. Dragging out the process of dying? No. Okay? You need to decide what you want. One of my mother's best friends, her whole life, had her husband, who had had several massive strokes, kept alive with machines and a feeding tube. For years, okay? And I said, Mom, why is she doing that? My mom said, well, that's her decision. My mom, obviously, and my dad had a different approach. My dad had a pacemaker put in when he was in his 70s. When he was in his late 80s, they were monitoring the thing, and the doctor said to my mom, Mrs. Wood, we need to schedule a surgery for your husband. My mother said, why? The doctor said, well, the pacemaker battery only lasts for 10 years. And it's been 10 years now, just over 10 years, since your husband's pacemaker was installed. So his battery is failing, and we need to put in a new one. And my mother said, just a minute. He held the phone like this. She said, "Bill, do you want to live another 10 years? And my dad said, "No." And my mother said, "We don't need the surgery, thank you." I love that. Okay? I mean, I don't know what would have happened if my dad had said yes. She probably would have said, "No, you don't." But, you know, mother loved dad. Mother was devoted to him. Mother was a fabulous caregiver for him. But the idea of trying to add a bunch of it, I mean, because you're going to die of something. I mean, again, don't be in denial. One of the most famous cardiac surgeons in the world, Dr. White, was speaking at Harvard University years ago, and some young wag at the medical school, not my brother, raised his hand during the Q&A and said, "Dr. White, you've devoted your career to cardiac health, and yet the leading cause of death for women in this country is heart disease. How does that make you feel?" Dr. White looked at him and said, "What would you like to have as the leading cause of death?" Good answer, okay? I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you don't die of this, you're going to die of something else. And mother's thing was, "We've given dad an extra 10 years with the pacemaker. It's been wonderful. Now he's checking out, so it's okay." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm torn between going to be with the Lord, which is better by far, or staying here in order to be of service to you. Guess I'm going to stay here." That's what the Apostle Paul said in the Jim Wood paraphrase. Okay, you can look it up, but you'll find that's pretty accurate. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now here's the thing. You need an advance care directive so that your loved ones aren't left to argue with each other and with themselves internally over what you would have wanted. You know, "I don't know. Well, sometimes he said this." Well, he was always joking about that, but I think he was just joking. I think that was for dramatic effect. I don't think he really meant that. Let me spell this out for you boys and girls. This is what Grandpa wants. Okay? I'm not trying to end my life prematurely. But when God is calling me home, I don't want anybody trying to pull me back. Is that clear? That's my conviction. You can have your own conviction. If you want a feeding tube, an electroshock, and all the rest, fine. Put it in writing. Because if they ask me, I'll say, "No, let them go." You understand? It's your responsibility. While you still have the ability, express what you believe God would have you do. And that's what I'm saying. That's what an advance directive does. It simply expresses what you believe to be the Lord's will for you and takes that onerous burden off of the people you love. So an advance directive is not a death sentence. Being born is a death sentence, okay? You're going to die. If you don't know you're going to die, you're in denial. If you know you're going to die, then make the most of every day God gives you. Invest it well and rejoice in the fact that he's given you more time here to serve him. There is so much to be thankful for. Look out there. When you see the sun going down at night, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've gotten me through another day. You need to be investing whatever time you have left in serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
One of my favorite illustrations that God has given me in my life was when we were going to be adopting the three kids from Ukraine. The oldest of those three kids, well, the whole story is in the book Adopted, which I'm not trying to sell you because I only brought one copy of each book so that you could be impressed. Okay? I would love for you to order it online. That's just so you know. The book is Adopted. But in any case, Stephen, the oldest of the three Ukrainian kids, was 12 when we heard about him and 13 when we got him. And when we were going to adopt him, and he had been told, we had never met him, but he began giving away his possessions. And the reason was because he had been told, he had received word that he was going to a better place and that all of his needs were going to be met. And so instead of hanging on to everything and trying to bring it with him to the States, he was willing to take it and share it with others. Folks, that's the way I want to live. I'm going to a better place. I've received word. I haven't been there. Stephen had never been to America. He'd never been outside Ukraine. But he believed the promise. He believed he was going someplace better and that he would have all of his needs taken care of. And so he was willing to let go of his favorite belongings. That's the way God's people ought to live. Amen? Don't fall into depression, but don't be in denial. Three key documents, a will, durable power of attorney, and advance directives. There are other documents you may want to do. You may want to do a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust or whatever you want to do, but those things are not essential. The essential thing is to try and take, and again, the reason for that is not to be sure that your wishes are carried out. The purpose is to try and take the burden off of other people. That's the purpose of the will. I mean, what do you care? You're going to be in heaven. It's not like, wait, that was my mother's. You know, you're not going to be doing that up there. Okay, looking over the balcony and saying, hold on, what do you mean you don't want that? Okay, I mean, that's not the way it's going to work. The reason you have a will is for the benefit of others. Amen? The reason that you have durable power of attorney is for the benefit of others. That's why you put other people in charge and you decide who. And you can lay out what they can and cannot do. Okay? And likewise, the reason for the advance directives is so that somebody else isn't having to stand there and say to the doctor, well, I don't know. I don't know if they would have wanted this or not. So the purpose of those three documents is love. Not self-love. It's love for those who are going to have to make the decisions if you don't. Does that make sense? All right. Invest yourself as those who've been bought and are headed for paradise at the Father's house. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much. You are a gracious, gracious Father. Help us to believe the good news, and we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.